PKN 506. What's up, boys?
How's it going?
Oh, it's going good.
I've been watching Dan Carlin's Supernova in the East. If you don't know, Dan Carlin's basically a historian. He does these long form, heavily researched, well put together audio videos. It's audio, but I'm watching it on YouTube. I'm 8.5 hours in, and Pearl Harbor just ended. It's 8.5 hours until Pearl Harbor stops. Like till you get to Pearl Harbor, and then he tells those events. Like the
what
third
was the
video,
starting point.
Yeah.
Did you explain that?
Japan invading China in 1931, and like the reasons for their.
Yeah, so it's been like a decade.
Yeah, I was like, if the starting point was like the beginning of recorded time, then Pearl Harbor is pretty far along.
Yeah, then he's flying.
Well,
yeah.
it's called Supernova in the East. He's talking about Japan, the rising sun of Japan, you know, going supernova and turning imperialist. The motivations behind that are very important. Understanding like the racial undertones of the whole world and how the Japanese were underestimated as yellow monkeys by like the entire world. Like they were like, oh, they're very good at copying technology, but they could never craft their own because the Japanese were in this isolationist period. The Japanese were in this isolationist period for a very, very long time, hundreds and hundreds of years. They come out of it and they send envoys to all the major countries. So they send one to England, learn how Navy works. They copy the English Navy. They're the best Navy in the world. Why wouldn't they? They send them everywhere, military, art, history, everything. They want to be the best at everything. And it's interesting. He describes the Japanese people as just like everyone else, just more so. And it's like, yeah, they do everything with such an intensity and such rigor that it goes overboard. And then because they've had this period of isolationist, they've romanticized just how rigid to Bushido their ancestors were, just how good the way we look at maybe medieval knights and think of knights in shining armor who do only good, tell only truths, you know, protect the weak. Okay. All right, our politicians say some similar vows. They don't keep up with them. But because these guys have never known personally that ruling Bushido military class, they've heavily romanticized it. And so he tells all this to sort of load you up for what's coming in World War II. I'm fascinated. It's so good.
So you're done with the engines already?
I learned all that there was.
Was to know.
Yes,
now, there's almost 4 days of history there.
What I did was I went through all the resources available to me without going to like a library or something.
Yeah, without a book.
Well, it's like as I go further, it's like, yeah, I know this. I know about that ritual. I know that they would tie those loops through the skin in their chest and then tie it to the pole and do their dance for days on end. I know that that tribe had their spear had a crook in the end, like a shepherd's crook. And they would stab it into the ground, and they tie a piece of leather from that to their leg to make sure they didn't take one step back. You know, because I went through it all.
I wanted you really to learn all the details of the different human sacrifice rituals so you could teach me about all the ways they varied. How did the Incas do it? How did the Mayans do it? Did the Aztecs revolutionize it?
So the Aztecs believed that the more the person suffered and screamed, the more powerful the blood magic would be so that they could build a closer bond to the gods or entities they were trying to appease or connect with. So it was very important that this person die afraid and terrified.
Thank God the Spanish showed up.
So they would hold you down. Four people would hold you down sort of almost bent over backwards over this like bowed stone structure so that you're really exposed. He would plunge the knife in. And the goal was to tear your heart out rapidly, like as fast as possible. So you're alive when it happens. They want to show you your heart if possible. Like that's and you can imagine you do this 1,000 times. Maybe you get good at it. Like you're like that guy, that Japanese guy slicing up those tuna. You're just in and out. Heart.
Yeah. You're like Jiro dreams of sushi, but with torture.
But with torture.
Yeah.
Yeah. With ripping hearts out.
Damn. Probably a good thing we put a stop to that.
I don't know. At least. You think it was working, the human sacrifice?
Well, they lost badly when like a group much smaller than them showed up.
That's part of it. Earth's temperatures started rising ever since the human sacrifices stopped.
So Cortez only had a few hundred men with him, and there's that famous quote of him like, never in history have such men as us come so few and conquered so many. But they'd also went around and they'd gotten all the tribes that the main Aztec aristocrats or whatever had been bullying forever and were like, hey, you tired of them raiding your village and sacrificing your people? selling, because that's what they do. They weren't necessarily killing like your neighbor and sacrificing him. You'd go get those jungle people. Like we live, it's a lot like Mel Gibson's Apocalypto, if you've seen that, which is fantastic. Yeah.
A lot of the South Americans and Central Americans were very stoked when they got that offer from the Spanish, at least from what I learned, where they're like, oh, these gun people are going to save us from those, you know, step pyramid building sacrificers. This is kind of nice.
Yeah, they just wanted gold, though. They just wanted gold. You know, the Spanish had this idea that there was that El Dorado existed. And part of it was because early explorers, English explorers who had gone into the Amazon, either came back and lied or saw something we still haven't found. That's the only two ways.
They were fibbing, looking for more funding.
That's where I want to be too. But here's the facts. The guy who came back and told the lies was like, please send me back. Send me and my son back. And they gave their lives looking for what he had found before, leading these expeditions down the Amazon, looking for these golden cities and these huge civilizations that were supposedly there. Some people say that disease was introduced in those cities just went away. All the people died. They ended up melting back into the jungle when the leadership and the whole, you know, Tower of Cards came tumbling down.
Ruins.
Well, especially we haven't plowed Well, what they've done is that they can't. The Amazon rainforest is still there, you know. So they've used that. It's not LIDAR. It's they've used ground penetrating aerial radar of some kind, some sort of sensor, and they found large compounds and large. Where cities once were, but not where cities were a couple hundred years ago, where maybe they were hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But then it is the Amazon rainforest, so I don't know. But
is
I love
the guy who talks about like ancient civilizations, where it's like there have been collapses.
I think it's Dan Carlin.
George Carlin's the comedian.
Oh,
right?
Dan Carlin. Dan Carlin.
So he does
the one who's like there were not Atlantis, but like imagine an analogy for Atlantis, like a sophisticated technology. More technologically advanced society that got eliminated.
That's Graham Hancock. So Graham Hancock, as much as I enjoy his works on Göbekli Tepe and all the books he's written, I've read a couple of them. He's more on the side of like, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, let's kind of go along with this and it'll be fun to imagine that this
that would be cool if.
Dan Carlin is a very respected, heavily researched historian. So he does stuff on Genghis Khan, stuff on Alexander the Great. And when you hear him speak, you'll realize he's not making his mind up about something. He'll read from contradictory sources, for example. You're like, well, we're discussing the rape of Nanking. It's like, okay, so here's what these people say happened. Here's what these people say happened. And here's what these people say happened. Here's the evidence. Here's a missionary who was there in Nanking, a white Westerner, and what they said happened. Here's this. And you draw your own conclusions then. He'll be like, look, these numbers go from 1,000 to 100,000. And just so we're clear, the 100,000 isn't the highest number that people claim. Some people say it was 5 million. It's just when the Japanese went into China, they killed for a decade. When they raped Nanking, as it's called, it wasn't like he compares it to the Assyrians taking a city and how 3 days of barbarism and the city fell. And, you know, burning, raping, pillaging, killing the dogs and cats, raping the boys, raping the women, killing all the men, slaughtering everything. And then the king tells the story of how I levied the rivers and allowed them to flood the city. It was nothing but what was before a sprawling metropolis was now a flooded meadow. Nature itself could not have wrought such destruction upon my enemy. And it's like, holy shit. But when you get to Nanking, 3 months of occupation and not just hanging out, raping and killing. For 3 months, they stayed in this gigantic, the capital of China at the time, and just raped and murdered and tortured and killed. And they go through like the eyewitness testimony of the Westerners and what they saw, like all of the ways they found bodies, the conditions that they were in. And it's just everything you can imagine, cut apart, dissected, split down the middle, split in half, just all sorts of evil.
What was the build the sector 7, something like that in World War II?
Oh, Unit 731?
Unit 731, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also a thing that I didn't know was the Japanese were extremely, they believed that they were the master race of Asians. They thought that the...
They still do.
They believed it enough that the extermination of those people seemed like a good idea, and the subjugation of them that, you know, seemed like a good idea.
One of my close friends is, she's Asian, Chinese, and like born in China and then grew up mostly here. And she'll like every once in a while, if someone asks, they'll be like, what's the racism situation like over in Asia? And she'll just be like, oh, like so much more than like white people could handle. Like white people are so sensitive about all that shit. Like she'll be like, yeah, the Japanese, they think they're, you know, the cat's pajamas. They think they're at the tippity top. And then, you know, the Chinese think they're at the tippity top. So I think we're a little better than the Japanese, you know, they got one over on us a few times, admittedly, but you know, I think we're number one. And then I'd say Koreans probably rank three. And then someone asked her, was like, what about like Thailand, you know, Laos, the Philippines? And she's like, oh, us, the Japanese and the Koreans all could not care less about the jungle Asians. We're all better than the jungle Asians.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, like I've heard that term before.
Yeah. And the record is worse than that for the Japs and the Chinese, like 1v1s, because
it goes back so far.
Genghis Khan's grandson, Kublai Khan, was the leader of China. He was sitting on the throne of China at the time. And he was the one who started that first invasion of Japan, where they were going to send 50,000 troops or something by ship across the, you know, the gap and there was a massive storm, sunk their fleet. And that's, they call it the, you know, divine wind, the tsunami, and then, or not tsunami,
typhoon.
It was a storm, but the divine wind is, kamikaze. That's the word. That's the word.
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
It means divine wind. So
what's your next era?
I mean, it's going to take me so fucking long just to cover the Japs in World War II. I probably got another 20 hours of that.
Just part of you want to go like super ancient with it, like the Babylonians.
I want to hear Kyle become a Vietnam expert. I think that's interesting.
Well, they touch on Vietnam as it pertains to Japan and colonialism, you know, because the French had been fighting in Vietnam for a long time, right after World War II. You know, their fight sort of begins in like 51 or so in Vietnam.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like Vietnam sucks. Vietnam's no fun. You've got so much political American shit where like nobody's resolute in what we're trying to do. And you've got just a boring war.
I just don't understand how we were so heavily committed, yet somehow fighting with one arm behind our back, and what the logic was for the way that we did this. And
public opinion, getting reelected.
Yeah, that's a challenge, winning wars with a democracy.
Yeah,
winning
very unpopular wars.
Yeah, when
like you look at how trying to maintain popularity.
I mean, when wars are won, it's nasty. It's a war. You know, it's bad. People get bayoneted in the streets. We talk about the American soldiers quickly trying to rush the battlefield so they could execute all the dead Japanese before the officers could call them off, because if you tried to deal with them, they almost always had a grenade in their hand.
Remember that grenade and fucking the
true story.
You guys don't like it as much, but the Band of Brothers Japanese version.
Pacific. Yeah, I've seen it multiple times. And a lot of the stuff that's happens in the Pacific are straight from real accounts. The guy cutting the teeth out of the guy's head. Like that really happened.
That makes sense. They were using real gold. You may as well, you know, make a little money.
While the guy was still alive.
Okay, well, at least kill him, you know.
With a knife. Yeah, and paying no mind to him screaming as the knife like missed as he butted it into his mouth.
Seems like he's at risk of getting bit.
Yeah.
He's got a big fucking knife. I
don't want to brag, but I would have killed him first. That's just my morals.
I don't want to brag, but I'd use my Leatherman pliers if I was there.
You'd be like, oh, the way better use. Tool.
All right, Tojo, this is going to hurt you more than me.
This Woody guy's a psychopath. He's not even keeping the teeth.
That was a regular tooth. I know.
I'm excited for you to bounce around past World War II, and then I want to learn more about like Babylon, Assyria, those ancient Persia, the ancient Greeks. It's such a cool time, and there's so much to learn. Does he not do stuff about that?
Does all of that. The next thing is going to be Alexander the Great. I want to learn about Alexander the Great because he seems like almost a fictional character. He's such a badass. Like he's conquering. Did he win his first battle? He's 16 or something.
Makes you feel like a loser. Like they show like images of what he conquered and how much there was. And it's like, here's what he had after his 85th battle at the age of 21. And it's like, like this.
Dude, it's rough to compare yourself to great people. Taylor will appreciate this. Eric Lindros, he's a hockey player, played for the Flyers. Our birthdays are like one day apart. I'm there like working tech support for a software company, and he's scoring goals at night.
Dude, I'll do that now. Where I'll be like, I wonder what Vladimir Tarasenko's up to, playing for the Rangers or whoever he gets traded to now.
Oh,
the Rangers.
Thinking about your age.
I'll check. And it's like, no, he can't be 8 months younger than me. That can't be possible. I have no NHL goals. Not a single one. And he has
you're falling behind.
I'm so far behind.
You got a lot of catching up.
I think my dreams are dead. I don't think I'm going to crack the league.
So speaking of 16-year-old like warlords, Woody's favorite terrorist, Katarov, that guy in Belarus or whatever.
UFC fighter, probably. Is that
no, well, I don't know this person.
He's the one that pays people like Justin Gaethje and Triple C to come to his terrorist country and shoot guns. And he's the one who has that hair lip guy, Chimaev. Like, you know, remember how I was talking about he'll let the 16-year-old boy like beat Chimaev up for Instagram, like the warlord's son. Mm-hmm. This is the warlord's son. He's been made the head of special forces.
This is true. I was just talking about comparing myself to someone. Seeing myself on camera, I'm like, man, your cheeks look a little fat. And then this dude comes up. I'm sexy as fuck, and I'm 51 compared to this 16-year-old who's chubby and pimply and just, he's ugly.
Now, if he may have one more growth spurt in him. You know, that's that.
Yeah, he might. He
should be empathetic to that, Woody. Yeah.
He is Prince, so I think he's got that going for him.
Yeah,
I could steal this guy's girlfriend,
or he could just be fat. You know, Kim Jong Un does not have another.
I think he'd be tortured if he tried.
You're probably right about that. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they would have to come in and do it.
The guys he's commanding have sharp jawlines, I bet. So you don't want to fuck with the.
I think they put it. It says they put him in charge of special forces, which is fun.
Good. What is he? What does he think? Right, he must know he doesn't deserve anything that he has.
Why?
This kid can't run a quarter mile, and he's leading the special forces at 16 years old.
I hate this kid, but I'm going to have to strongly disagree. He's very athletic, and he can operate that rifle too. I mean, if you go to his go to the terrorist Instagram, and you'll see that.
What is he doing athletically?
UFC fighting.
Oh, wait, this kid is?
You have to be
athletic. Of course, he beat
up
Chimaev multiple times. He's always in the ring.
Oh, that is impressive.
See, that's the thing.
Almost unbelievable.
These guys are like super fans of mixed martial arts. Like he's got a UFC gym in his house.
Yeah.
I struggle to believe he trains a lot. This is a weight class based sport.
That makes sense.
Who
do you like more, Kyle? Do you like the MMA Russians or the hockey Russians?
Oh, the hockey Russians for sure. Because the hockey Russians are playing like their national sport, something ingrained in them, I'm sure. And I do admire when I hear about like the Russians coming over and playing against the more physical Americans. And when I say more physical, I mean the cheating Americans. And their reaction isn't to get mad and like stoop to our level. It's to be like, you guys don't know how to play this fucking game. And it's kind of like, we're going to go home and we're not going to talk about how we lost the Americans. We're going to talk about how Americans are losers.
Dude, like the version,
I
like
the American that thought process.
That's my viewpoint.
The Americans beating up the Russian team is literally like another space race version where they're like, we made it to orbit first. We did this first, that first living thing. And then we get to the moon and we're like, we win. Everything
we outscored them too. We outscored them. We beat them up. We dominated them in every category of the game. And what did except for complaining to the refs? They got us there. They complained to the refs. That was their strategy. And they lost in
some of those old
every
clips.
Regard.
They'd call those in the playoffs. Like those are some playoff penalties. The Flyers.
The Americans were assaulting fellow athletes who were more skillful than them because it's the only way that they could not get embarrassed in their own.
Bobby Clark had no teeth and a permanent case of bad breath because he soaked himself in some sort of fluid that he felt helped with muscle recovery.
It's piss, isn't it?
This guy was all.
God, I hate playing with this guy.
He's like, it's not piss
in every way.
It's mostly piss, isn't it? Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
If my teammates hate this so much, imagine my foes.
This guy, he was just like, nothing mattered except winning hockey games. He didn't care about his own health. He didn't care about anything except that he won hockey games, and nobody wanted to come to Philly. And we won championships.
Like the
and we beat the Russians.
Canadian hockey players. There was a period. It's not the truth anymore, but like there was a time, especially in that Soviet era, where like they just were better at the game of hockey. Like they were smoother at it. They had better offensive structures. Their passing was better. They're like, you can watch them like kind of dipsy do. Like you remember Pavel Datsyuk? Like,
of course,
it was after that era. Kyle can't help get him to stop talking about Datsyuk.
No, Pavel and
Datsyuk. They were basically Iserman. Datsyuk of the time, except, you know, not physical at all. And it took the Canadians and the Americans being hyper physical to try and spook them. And then over time, the Canadians, I got to give Canada some credit. They really figured it out and got way better. It's Americans now are getting to the point where we're like as good as Canadians at hockey. For almost, we're starting to get there. We're like our superstars are on Canadian levels, because for so long it was like
even our number 3-1, right? Like holy shit.
Like yeah, well I mean in raw numbers way more than that, but yeah. Like
Georgia doesn't count.
It used to be like a guy like Connor McDavid, like a Canadian, was like, oh, he's the best in the world.
Florida,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. So I'd have like you'd have like an American, you'd have like an American superstar that every once in a while would break out, and like a Brett Hull, where it's like, this guy's like an all time goal scorer and he's fucking American. Sure, he grew up in Canada, but like whatever. He was born in America. Now they have Austin Matthews, born in Phoenix, best goal scorer in the league right now. And that's kind of neat, like, because it used to be like there was the tier of
was he Canadian raised in Phoenix? Super,
he was raised in Phoenix, yeah. And
I know basketball instantly turned you off, but a lot of the best players in the world are European.
I watched the game last night. We had $5 on it.
I don't remember the last time America had an MVP, you know, like the league best player.
What, LeBron James?
4 years ago? I don't. Look, that guy's 39. He's a great player. He's still top 10, but he's not MVP. The last MVP was a Sixer, Joel Embiid. Before that, it was Jokic twice, and he's Serbian. Before that, I think it was Giannis, and he's Greek. And before that, I don't know, American. But this next one's not going to be American either, this year's.
Now, that seems absurd that we're not perennial.
I think you're just out of date, man. The European game is like...
I guess, you know, I don't follow basketball at all, but when I do see... Because I like get sports stuff served to me on Twitter and whatnot, and... disproportionately there's a dude in Texas who's Doncic or something like Luka. I saw Luka Doncic and I'm like, that guy's not fucking American, very clearly, and apparently he's like wrecking people. And then I know that other guy you just mentioned, the Jokic, and he has like the most Eastern European face and Eastern European hair you've ever seen.
You would love him, Taylor. I think I told you before, I might have said this already, but they're like, how do you play defense? He's like, oh, I stand in front of him and I try to make him hard.
Is he the guy that like plays basketball because he's incredible at it? And they're like, what are you going to do with the championship? And he's like, I go back to Serbia, play with my horses. You would not believe how much horses.
He won the championship last year for the first time.
I love that.
And they're all like, are you looking forward to the parade? He's like, what? Parade? When is parade? And they're like, it's Thursday. It's like, no, I just want to go home. And he's like, I know basketball is a job for me. I'm like everyone else. I don't like my job. I you know, maybe some people like the job. They are lying.
Yeah,
she's like, oh damn, I'm
does
really
he have to get on the parade. Does he have to be on that fucking float? Because I'm with
you
it.
Gotta go to your championship.
It turned out
I wouldn't want
after
to.
After the parade, he was like, this is a good time.
Yeah, I'd be like, you think I did this for you, people? You know, they pay me, you peasants. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that'd be my attitude. I'm not playing. I'm not sinking those baskets for the people in the fucking crowd. Certainly not the Lakers crowd. I watched the game last night I bet Woody $5 that I bet Woody $5 that the NBA writers would keep LeBron in it for at least one more game. And goddamn, if they didn't maintain the league for the lead in the game, the Lakers, that is, for about like three quarters of the fucking game.
The Lakers win.
No, they lost at the very end by like 2 points or something.
I have a theory on that. I think it's because Denver has the cardio from training a mile high. They've had a bunch of comebacks and they just always seem to win in the fourth quarter. And
better cardio, you think?
Mile high, yeah. Altitude training.
Yeah, I put a lot into that theory because I've seen it play out time and time again in high altitude fighting environments. So they have fights in Mexico City and they have fights in Denver. And Mexico City's altitude might be 7,000 feet. And Denver's, of course, the mile high. So it's around almost exactly 5,280 feet.
Yeah.
And it's so close. And oh my God, you're like, whoa, what happened? Did he not work out? this guy not even, did he do no cardio? Because they're just gas. You see their mouths open. And it's like, this guy usually has a gas tank so that he can sprint for three rounds. And tonight he's clearly pacing himself. It's a big deal.
Yeah. But anyway, basketball is more international. Oh, there's one last thing. I was listening to this guy on the Olympic team, and he's like, I thought we were going to win automatically. I forget who it was, but he's like, you know, we got LeBron on the team. We got AD on the team. We got Kevin Durant on the team. He's just listing all these, like, hyperstars. He's like, I thought we'd show up and, like, just never lose. Like, we'd win without barely trying. Mm-hmm. We lost three games. They did get the gold, but it was hard.
So your team is still in for now.
Yes, they and play my fan tonight, base is very disappointed.
And they just need to win, push it to game six.
And then seven.
And then seven. They are down 3-1. Well, I'm pulling for the 76ers. Fuck the Knicks.
Thank you for that.
Can't stand the Knicks.
We're down 3-1. It should be 2-2. If I showed you the play, you'd see they absolutely mugged a guy at the end of the game. Like, they fouled him three times in like 3 seconds. They pulled him to the ground by his jersey. And then the coach was calling timeout twice. And the refs were looking at the coach, but they didn't call the timeout. I don't know why that happened.
You showed me that clip. That was ridiculous. Yeah,
Sixers fans and everyone kind of agrees they should have won that game, but they're not going to change it. So now they're down 3-1. And the Sixers are, the fans anyway, are already talking about next year.
In the other sport of the NHL, your Carolina Hurricanes are up 3-1 on the New York Islanders. And I think the Canes probably have their best shot at a cup this year than they've had in a long time. Because there's no way they lose another one to the Islanders. They're going to win tonight for sure. I shouldn't say that. I have a notoriously bad record at predicting sports. But I'd like to see them get one or man, I feel so bad for Toronto fans because they haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1967.
And they care.
And they care so deeply about it. And so the way the division works, Kyle, is and the divisions over time is they often get paired up Toronto against the Boston Bruins. And you know how there are just rivalries in sports where one side almost always wins. The Toronto Maple Leafs have not had a winning series in the playoffs against the Boston Bruins since 1957 or 1959, something like that.
Is that like 75 years?
It's an unreal amount of time. People have lived full lives and died.
Never. Fans aren't mean about it or anything. They don't do cancer and make t-shirts.
Dude, so. I'll see like Bruins hockey fans like before the series even starts to be like, dude, I'm not even fucking nervous, dude. Like there's no chance. And then the Toronto Maple Leafs fans are having a conniption, but the Bruins are up 3-1. I said I thought Toronto had a good shot this year to do something, and it's looking like I was wrong again. And so I guess I don't even dislike the Bruins. Why would I? Last time we met them, we won a Stanley Cup. So it worked out. But man, poor Toronto. They're so sad all the time. And it's the only team they like their whole city cares about.
It's hard to be a player there too, because if you're not just coated in gold gleaming every game, they're like hassling you when you fill your car with gas.
Oh, like if you suck dick on the Carolina Hurricanes, like you could go to the you could score on your own goalie and then go to like the grocery store the next day and no one's gonna know. But the Toronto fans, like, they're taking close-up videos of the guys talking to each other on the bench and having like, hey, Toronto lip reader here, and then like saying what's going on. What their best player, Austin Matthews, had to leave the game, probably not by his own volition, like the team doctors and medics and whatnot have to, you know, step in. And apparently he's sick and was like food poisoning or was like too dehydrated to keep playing. It would be my guess. And in like the whole fan base is like, players for the fucking Bruins and the Blues and the Kings, They'll break a foot and keep playing. But Austin Matthews has an upset tummy, and he can't go out there.
Poor guy.
Fuck him. And they're so mad.
One of the reasons the Sixers are struggling, we're really dependent on our best player. And he's really, really good. But without him, we're nothing. And right now, like, his knee is fucked. He can barely jump. He has surgically removed a meniscus a couple weeks ago, and he has Bell's palsy, so he has to blink with his hand. He reaches up and closes his eye, and he's still powering through it. And he scored 52 games ago and won it for us. But
damn,
the narrative
man
is
that keeps his eye on the ball. No matter, he don't blink. I hear he paralyzed the side of his face intentionally so he never misses a play.
It paralyzed the side of his brain that makes him nervous.
Does Bell's palsy only affect your
face? That's the beta blocker.
Doesn't seem to bother below the neck tell. I don't know.
Of course not. They put the injections
something neurological
here.
Going on to cause face paralysis, but I guess if you're able to play in an NBA playoff game, it's not that severe.
Yeah, anybody's got Bell's palsy now, I'm like, get over it. How many points could you score? 50? Yeah, I don't think
probably none.
Probably none.
Speaking of bona fide superstars, are you guys ready to get manhandled in Scriblio again?
Oh my goodness. We played this game called Scriblio, and basically it doesn't matter how many people are on our team, but a bunch of people on our team, and we take turns drawing with our mouse a word that's given to us, the secret word, and so the team has to guess the word and type it. Okay? So
it's like
it requires
Pictionary,
vocabulary.
But you type it in.
So mm-hmm. It requires vocabulary, spelling, and typing, and Taylor is like a 9 out of 10 on all three of those fucking skills.
I think you're underestimating him.
Not only will he get it rather quickly, but he'll know how to spell it the first try, which is important, and he'll get the input in rapidly. And he dominated at this game. Like, I've seen few people dominate at any game.
Oh my god, he's just fucking dunking on us, and he's like worried about his lead. He's up by thousands of points. Nobody's coming close.
Like, he doesn't even have
I'm
to play
not a fast
anymore.
Typer. I'm like 55 words a minute, but I would spell like direction or compass at 55 words a minute. Symmetrical, I'm down to like 7 as I process that. Slowly trying to like
how many M's?
So it's S-Y.
And that's if you guess the word. Like you have to guess the word, then you have to spell it correctly. Dude, I forgot how to spell cloud. Like, I swear, I don't know that's how I forgot one. How to spell cloud. Yeah.
That was a funny moment.
But part of it, a lot of W's in there.
It was cloudy, actually.
Yeah, it was cloudy. That's what it was. And something about it being cloudy. I wasn't spelling cloudy. I was spelling cloud. I don't know what I was doing, but I typed it wrong like 3 fucking times. And I was like, I don't know how to spell cloud.
And everyone can see your bad guesses.
Yeah. Oh, that's the best part. Like, as you're typing, if you miss, the miss sticks in the chat for everyone to see. It's a text chain. And so that can be helpful because I'll see people misspell a word because cloud's one of the few words I'm apparently retarded on. usually I can spell okay. And it's like they'll type rendezvous, but they'll have it all fucking wrong. And I'll be like, and now I've got it because that's a huge clue to me. I was like, I know you meant rendezvous, but I didn't see rendezvous up there. And some of them, I just blank. When he was drawing SpongeBob SquarePants, I was like, yellow rat trap? Why is it yellow? Why is that rat trap yellow?
Dude, every once in a while a word would come up there that like most people in the chat were struggling
obelisk.
With. Oh, obelisk. That one that solidified my first game.
He was the only person to get it.
Of the 12 people in there. But then one of the words was scythe. And I saw a million creative spellings where people were clearly like, all right, there's a C and a Y somewhere in the middle of this.
I typed sickle 3 times in a row correctly and then just gave up and decided it was something else. I was like, that's not if he meant, I don't know. I like sometimes I'll have it. Occasionally I'll beat you. I'll be the first one, but it's rare. I think I was 4th one game. Mm-hmm. And but Taylor's first in every game, and it's not close. It's like
was
he could stop playing toward the end, and it's just and it's a fun fucking game. I like it. I do
it
wish
a good time.
And I'm not saying it would change who wins or who does anything. Up. I just wish we had a trackpad. Like, I would prefer to draw with my hand than a mouse, not because I think I'm necessarily better at it or that it would change how the cards would fall, but I would just rather do that because I think I could like represent my drawing skills a little bit better because I'm so bad at drawing. I'm like, I know what I want. I wanted a guitar with the amp next to it because I need an electric guitar.
I got what you were going for.
But as I'm doing it, I at one point I go, I'm so sorry, I can't draw a guitar.
I think the word you were going for was electric. Mm-hmm. And I typed guitar, which I think is the same amount of letters. I don't know. Nobody knows that.
Electric guitar. It was a compound word.
Was it both?
Yeah, sometimes you get two words.
Oh, okay, that's the other thing. I remember it wrong.
It's like Wheel of Fortune so that you can see the blanks. Mm-hmm. Or Hangman. So you see how many letters, and slowly it's like it'll give you one letter as like the whole group gets one letter like to help them along.
Yeah.
But I'll be so engrossed in the drawing that's taking place, I'll forget to look up there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, that's a three-letter word. Just start guessing three-letter words. Because sometimes
someone called me out for that. Like even before anyone started drawing,
but I didn't understand.
I was typing like cow. You're like, you thought that was a cow? Like, there wasn't even a clue. I would just
throwing a shot in the dark.
Yeah, it's because I kept forgetting that there was a clue up there. That's why I was like, can we remove that clue? Because I keep forgetting to look at it anyway.
See, I think that helped me a huge amount. Is I felt like I was paying more attention to the amount of letters.
Just have like a better reservoir of words to choose from. You know, like give me a six-letter word where the third letter is T, and you're like, oh, I got like four of those. What could it be? And I had zero. what I liked a lot, like just enjoyed, was the people complaining about the drawing, right? Some guys would picture drawing like an entire neighborhood, right? There's three houses, there's some trees, there's a dude mowing his lawn, a picket fence, some flowers. And Kyle's like, what are we supposed to focus on?
Absolutely.
Dude, sometimes sometimes it would just be people getting frustrated where it'd be like, what the fuck is this? And then other times the word would be like road, and they wouldn't start with like two lines and then like dashes down the middle. It'd be like they'd start with a house, like a cul-de-sac, and it'd be like there's many factors.
I'm 100% right with what I'm saying. Once you've got your picture done and we're just sitting there like clearly no one knows what you've done because they haven't guessed it, and now we're just staring at your picture, I need you to circle the relevant part arrows to it, because my clue was full moon. So I did my best at drawing.
I think I won that one. I was the first to get it.
And then I drew a full moon, and then I drew a circle around it, and the arrows, like sort of the recycling thing, like just pointing like this one, not that one, because I don't know how to draw a full moon. Because you'll see a circle with dots on it if I don't have the crescent moon and the idea of the progression, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah, there was one I was proud of myself because Taylor complimented me on it. I'm still on a high. But there was complaining about the use of colors. People were wasting time with their colors, all this frustration. And my clue was popcorn. So I made the box red and white striped, which is to me like classic sort of popcorn-y. Mm-hmm. And then the popcorn wasn't great. It's hard for me to draw. But Taylor's like, that's a good use of colors. That helped with the clue.
That was a perfect use of color. But then other times people are like, the word is train.
Neighbor.
I prefer a green train. And it's like, we're wasting time here. Just not quicker.
Yeah.
Well, that's the fun thing about the patrons. You get a mixed group. You get some guys that are moving to Upper West Side of Manhattan this week who are worth millions of dollars. And then you get some guys who smell.
Dude, it was fun seeing...
In fairness, they only smell because they're wearing that furry costume, and it's seen some mileage.
Yeah.
That's hypothetical, but not far off.
I really like that game. That was a fun game.
We'll play some more in like a few minutes. That's what we're talking about is like the $50 patron hangout, if you care to join. $50 part.
I wish there was a way to like...
Weeks late or 10 bucks in.
Also, like, I started like cheating, for lack of a better. Well, basically not cheating. It was doing the opposite. I was helping everybody else once I figured it out.
He'd shout out.
It was making it a little more fun.
Yeah. I didn't like you when you were doing that because I was really trying to goose my numbers before the end of the game, because I would get it right. And then Woody would be like, well, how do you draw a train? And then I'd go, bring, and I'm like, fuck, no,
Some
no.
Some guy out loud asked, how do you spell bonsai? And I'm like, B-O-N-S-A-I. And then everyone's like, got it.
Yeah, it's a fun game in that, like, there are some times, though, where you just can't get it. And it's so demoralizing to be like, all right, 9 other people have it, but I can't get it through my head what this is supposed to be.
That's why I was extending olive leaves. I was trying to make sure
everyone did Gulf of Mexico. And don't bite me, you cocksucker. Oh, he's biting me. I was just trying to
story.
Attack me.
Yeah, dude, I got Gulf of Mexico immediately.
Very sharp. Leave my shit alone, dude.
No, shark. I thought it was tied into the Mexico store. The
shark attack. But it was like, oh, that's clearly America. And he's pointing those arrows to the Gulf of Mexico and nobody was getting it. And I was just like,
Sturdy was so upset because the guy would erase it and then draw it again. And then erase it and draw it again. He's like, you keep drawing the same thing. Yeah. I was like, well, 9 out of 12 people got it so far, bro.
That was frustrating because I don't remember which person it was, but one dude just kept having the most bafflingly bad drawings. And he'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm using a trackpad. It would just be like,
he couldn't draw circles. It was like, It was 3-inch lines connected to each other because the sensitivity was so high it couldn't read like a millimeter. It read like an inch at a time.
Also, he couldn't, like, there'd be clearly such, like, say you're trying to draw a fence, right? You know how to do it, like 2 parallel straight lines and vertical ones. Yeah. This guy couldn't make a line remotely straight for the life of him. And it
was the pencil. He was the one who drew the pencil that looked like a banana.
I got no points on that pencil one, and I was a little annoyed because it's like, he couldn't have drawn a worse pencil.
Yeah.
Mm.
He wanted to.
If I were in a challenge to draw a pencil as bad as I could, he would have beaten me. He would have swept me in the series.
Mm.
Yeah. That and Code Names, a couple of very fun games. I want to find more stuff like that. I need to try Pictionary out. I've never really played Pictionary, but if that's just what Pictionary is, I think I'd be pretty good at it.
Yeah, yeah. You shout out the answer in like real life Pictionary, so it's a little like charades. Oh, okay. But instead of acting it out, you draw it out.
Do you play board games much ever or not really?
No. I don't.
Okay.
I can imagine having fun, but if anyone were to propose the idea, I'd be like, anything but this. I don't know.
Board games. I love board games. They're so fun.
It depends on the board games. I don't want to play a goofy board game where we're basically rolling dice and giggling about it because that's fucking stupid. And that's a soft game for soft minded people so that your dumb girlfriend doesn't get embarrassed in front of the group. I'll never forget the night that this pretentious couple came over and played a trivia game with me and my girlfriend. And this guy was always just bragging about how many degrees he had. He had worthless fisher. What he did was he took the pH levels at fisheries. And for this, he was a doctor. He was a glorified pool pH tester. Like he'd bring data back. And he was so proud. And I stomped his asshole into just oblivion in that game because he had no basic knowledge and he had zero pop culture knowledge. And it was just, maybe we'll play something else now. And they got out some kind of like hungry hippos or some shit. Like, something that like there's no winner in, basically. Or that the winner is the guy who just like...
Hungry hippos is cutthroat.
Who spams it.
Spamming
is
a bad technique.
Hungry hippos, but something like that. Some stupid fucking game.
I agree. There needs to be a win. Like a good example of a game I don't like to play is like a Cards Against Humanity style game where it's like... There's no one's really winning in that. Like, whereas Code Names or Scriblio, Pictionary, whatever, that game, Secret Hitler, Catan, Ticket to Ride, like there's a winner. There's a strategy to it. And so at the end, when you win, it's like, damn, I out-strategized them. Or when you lose, it's like, fuck, they out-strategized me. I was trying to get from Yaroslavl, Russia to my route in Bahrain. And they cut off the right in the middle of it. That was really tactical of them. Fuck.
When people come over, we play Super Mario Brothers Party. It's something close
to Mario
Party.
Yeah.
Mario Party. It's a very silly game. And it's being good doesn't help you win that much. There's too much luck involved. I pulled last places the last 2 times I played. And it's frustrating for me. It works in our house, though, because we have this like projection screen and, you know, 4 controllers. But you guys would hate that game. It's the video equivalent of what you hate.
Mario Party is very frustrating.
When we played Super Smash, we played it on a giant projector at that house. And that made all the difference. I don't know. It wouldn't have been fun even on like a large TV, like a 70 something inch. But being it on like 200 inches or whatever, like the whole wall was... Yeah. It made, you know, you're looking around as the it made it a much better game. Obviously, that wouldn't be good for
that.
I had never played before.
That's so surprising that you never played Super Smash even on the N64.
I didn't have an N64.
That game has a really high... It looks like it's a silly game like Mario Kart, but it has a really high skill ceiling. So mm-hmm. people who are good at it will beat people who are bad at it every time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's one of those games that you can think you're okay at it, and then you play someone who really knows what they're doing, and you're like, oh, I didn't even know these moves were an option. Like, I didn't know this could be done. Just grabbing me with DK, throwing me in the air. I never touched the ground. Now I'm not having fun.
Yeah, I only had a couple. I had Sega Saturn and the Sega Genesis. That Sega Saturn was CDs. Genesis was cartridges. And then like a Nintendo NES before that. That's all I ever had. Mm. Before I got a PlayStation 2 when Vice and started playing Vice City and wanting to burn people.
You went right to 2? You never had a PS1?
No. No, absolutely no.
I also.
Yeah, I didn't get bought. But my parents wouldn't buy me things like that, so I always had to go and like earn money to get video games because they saw it as like, you know, I don't know, frivolous silliness.
But PS2, I think I justified it because it was only slightly more expensive than another DVD player.
Yep.
So made it work.
Yeah, it was great. I think I remember going in there and buying that thing. I remember specifically like the day I bought that PlayStation. It was so nice. So those graphics were so bad. I was playing SOCOM Navy SEALs with a phone, not an Ethernet cable, a phone cord stuck into the PlayStation 2.
Back in the PS2 days, like when my kids struggled with games, they'd hand me the controller and I was just, you know, kicking ass for them, getting past all those platformers that they couldn't do. Mm-hmm. And the tide has turned. I did. The transition of power is never peaceful. Colin's flexing on me. Just, you know. And of course, it's like he's Serbian or something because he messes up the language. I've said this before, but you know, you're hard for Fall Guys, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Dan's the hardest for Fall Guys, apparently. Just can't keep his guy upright, falling into the goo every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
That game, Scriblio, I don't know if we explored every option of it. I like having the letters at the top because it's fun and like it's another layer of vocabulary, and I obviously like the vocabulary aspect. Mm-hmm. But like if there was a way to do it in teams or pairs or like something like that instead of just free for all, yeah.
I think that'd
be a fun addition.
I bet we could find Pictionary of some like you know, and just do that. There was also talk of doing Codenames that has photos instead of words.
Codenames Pictures is absolutely harder than Codenames.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it's I have that physical game, and it's so
words are specific. There can be synonyms and stuff like there can be words, but you can that word could be this or that. But when you got a picture's worth 1,000 words. That could be, maybe it's the situation in that picture. Maybe it's not the boat or the river. Maybe it's paddling, you know, like it could be anything.
Or it could go the wrong way. Like, you know, you're trying to, the people are focused on the wrong thing. Actually, that ties into what you just said.
Yeah. It's like, I want you to say boat, but maybe, I don't know. They're in a boat having fun. Like it's a couple. Are they married?
Are you going for lake?
Yeah, you don't know. It's a lot harder.
Yeah, and a lot of pretty much all the pictures in Codenames Pictures are you won't get one of a pyramid. Like it's not ever one thing. It'll be a pyramid, but it's also an upside down ice cream cone, and the ice cream is also a lake with like palm trees on it. So it's like multifaceted, and so there's a bunch of ways to tie it in, and you have to think like it's even more complicated than the word version because it's like, man, am I the only one who's seeing this is like also an, is are other That's people going to jump to the pyramid or to the ice cream cone?
Sometimes when someone starts drawing, I am immediately like, oh, I see it. And then sometimes they're done and everyone has guessed it correctly. And I'm just like, wouldn't know where to start. That looks like scribbles to me. Like I can't make that into shapes anymore. It's just scribbles. I'm like, what is that? What's that scribbly little doodad you put over there? Were you just bored?
And then you finish a drawing and then like there's nothing else to add, and so you're like, all right, I guess I'll put a tailpipe on the truck and maybe a window and a grill.
One person's word was truck and they drew a car, and I had already guessed truck somehow, and I went, put a tailgate on it for God's sake. Everyone, truck. Like, thank you, Jesus, put the tailgate on there.
He had drawn a truck and a car, I think, like to show that it wasn't a car, like contrast. And I couldn't get my head off vehicle. I was just on it. Let's type in vehicle.
And it was vehicle.
Oh, well, then yeah. I might be conflating.
They're two different ones. Yeah.
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 It was fun. It was a good time. And it was nice to get away from code words a little bit.
Little change of pace.
A little change of pace. Fun. I'd like to change it some more. I don't have any specific ideas, but the idea of changing is cool.
Mm-hmm. I would like something team-based, like Taylor mm-hmm. said, because then Taylor doesn't just beat us all. Like maybe I could share some glory with somebody.
I literally think if we had 12 people playing that game, Taylor could win. It might be 100 times out of 100.
Like it's not that many times, but like it would get to
Taylor. What's your number?
I would win the majority of the time.
Oh, yeah, shut up. No, that's not a number.
Yeah, one guy kept pace.
I have won 100% of the games so far.
There's people keeping pace with you for a while. Yeah. And then, like, it's sometimes, like, there were the second game we played, the first four, I got zero. The first four clues, I was just like, the fuck is all this shit? I don't see it.
You climbed back up to like fifth by the end, though, I think.
Yeah, I skipped the first four questions and pulled up to fifth or something by the end. Yeah, that happened.
The other two people that were usually second, third, and fourth was Dirty, Robot, and you, I would say.
I did okay, but it was very frustrating for me at times. It was like all or nothing is what it was. Like I would get it and I would get always slower than you. Like the time, that's the other thing that matters that I keep talking about. His typing speed is so quick mm-hmm. and his spelling is so good that he's going to get it fast and he's not going to miss. So it's hard to beat him to the punch, even if you come up with it faster. I'm sure I've come up with it faster, but I can't get him on the board faster.
Yeah. Like,
I got to think for a second and then I got to get fucking start typing. And then he's already beating me.
Dude, it was a good ego day for me. Then afterward, Dirty's like, let's all do a typing competition. And I'm like, I've never done one of these. Let's see. I don't feel like I'm that fast of a typist. That blew him out of the water.
Taylor thinks 97 isn't very good.
I was like, I think I got like 90. No, I don't think.
Oh, okay. Still even quick. So, that's fast. Kyle, do you remember how fast you went? Did you try it?
I didn't try it, but in school, I took typing electives like multiple times. I knew how to type, so that seemed like the easiest fucking elective ever. And all we do is speed tests, and I would get high numbers, but they were simple words. I didn't do the one that y'all were doing, so I don't know. I probably typed 60. 60.
I got 55 and 56. It's pretty consistent. That's just what I am. Mm-hmm. When when I coded for a living, there were certain things you type all the time. Mm-hmm. And like, honestly, my manager brought his manager over and a crowd gathered to watch me work because I could just like navigate the Unix directory structure and shit like that. And it was loud. I had this old IBM like M2 keyboard or whatever it was. And it would like, it's buckling spring. And it was just like, and it was cool. It made me feel good about myself. They're all like, look at him go.
Fucking hacker man over here.
Wait, he just turned his hat backwards. Get ready.
Which one of you has to
blow
on?
Me during
yeah,
this?
He's playing the Swordfish soundtrack.
He's got a leather trench tool coat on at his desk. I like that. Do you know why Romania is called Romania?
I haven't a clue.
The Romani people?
No, the Romans went in there and the people that lived there resisted, so they ground their cities to dust and they renamed the place Land of Rome, Romania. Ah,
the Romans were notoriously uncool when they'd show up and people resisted. They're like,
they killed one third of the Celts.
We have like the first modern army and you guys live in the woods, right?
Yeah.
Have you guys heard? Oh, these guys don't know what roads are. Well, you wouldn't know because we're the only ones that have them.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to kill a few of our guys? Well, we have a road that we built along the way that has more supplies coming. And they really butt-fucked a lot of people for a long time. I didn't know they killed a third of the Celts. That's insane.
It was that guy that I've been listening to, Dan Carlin, had a thing about he'll mention the Romans or an example of like he mentioned that example to talk about what war is like and how war was fought over the centuries and how complete the destruction could be when people resisted and how it was in your best interest if you were a warlord leading a country that was warlike and conquering to let it be known, hey, there's two ways this can go. Mm-hmm. And like the second option isn't some of y'all make it. by the way. It's that none of you make it.
Do you want to work for the fall of Rome? Like it was sort of
it's
the Greece,
split into two,
the Greece and then Roman and then America.
Rome never really stopped, right? So
it split into two Roman Empire.
Yeah, it split into two empires, and it still survives today there. And you know the Catholic Church there is the Roman Empire.
Yeah, so like in I think it's 456, 453, the Roman Empire fell. And it's kind of schismed, split. And then there was the Eastern, the Holy Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, and, you know, in much diminished capacity compared to like the full Roman Empire. But yeah, it's
what a was huge the next empire. Would you say it was the British?
Yes, the British were the greatest empire that ever existed. By every measure. Like ridiculous. The sun never set.
Not disputing, I'm just trying to think.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering how America compares, and I feel like Kyle easily answers this question, America but doesn't, I can't.
America,
we do it differently now. It's a sort of soft.
We're anti-imperialist from the very beginning. It's codified in. Even when we, I think it was the Philippines or somewhere down there, we had relinquished control of it 10 years prior to World War II. Like we weren't imperialist. We never have been. But the English, I mean, the whole world, Australia, India, United States, and so much of the whole planet, all of those islands they conquered, you know, it was this tiny island nation that conquered everything. That's one of the reasons, one of the things Japan was looking at when they came out of their isolationist period. They compared themselves.
Yeah. I have the phrasing I've been hunting for. So let's remove America specifically and say, how does NATO compare to England?
Oh, because they're not an empire. It's a bunch of countries.
That's the way we do it now, right? Like we influence, we set these rules, we determine how wars are conducted and who gets to go to war with who.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd quantify it and compare, because just such different eras and how things were done.
Right.
Like a traditional empire, I think Kyle might be on the money. The British Empire was unbelievably impressive. There were a lot of other, like the Persian Empire, really impressive. The Roman Empire, obviously.
Yeah, I'm not doubting Kyle. I'm just asking him, like, it's kind of a thought experiment. Like, how would you compare NATO,
NATO's just like this loose alliance of countries that you can add countries and remove countries from it. And I we're seeing right now just how non-cohesive they are, how it's so hard to just beat one aggressive country because we're not together. The GDP of NATO to Russia is like 20-1. I saw a graph that like.
Are we talking about Ukraine? They're not in NATO though.
Yeah, sure. But we've made it our mission to like save them from the invading Russians, and we're struggling to do that clearly.
It's a question of what it would be
real
like
empire.
If it was for real, right? If Russia invaded Poland, right? A full-on NATO member. What would that response look like? Would we be giving Poland tanks, or would
no,
we
would
be
there?
In...
We'll be there.
Yeah,
so then five, Ukraine right? isn't a very good proxy for NATO strength.
I suppose we'll see.
I'm just trying to like thinking about overall influence. I don't know.
And I know Article 5, but sometimes I wonder.
I feel like you need central leadership.
Who's the lamest NATO member? Is it Malta or something? I don't know.
An empire.
Malta catch its trays.
So like if Malta was invaded by Russia, would we all be like, how serious are we about Article 5, guys?
I hate Malta milk balls. Get them out of here.
NATO would be like, all right, it's come to our attention. Malta's a member of this.
I think a figurehead. I think to have an empire, you need an emperor, right? Like I don't think you can have an empire.
That's a great point. That's a really, you need a king, you need an emperor in order for it to qualify by these definitions. And so I guess by that point, it might be the Roman Empire or the British Empire.
Yeah, you had
British
really
expanded more people. Because like navy being so huge to them in comparison to, you know, the Romans not having to lean as heavily into navy because they conquered, you know, surrounding the Mediterranean.
Yeah, they walked to their enemies.
Yeah,
on their roads.
And then there was like the empire rivalries. Like how many centuries were the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire like?
I mean, the Greeks.
The Persians. The Greeks got rolled into the Roman Empire pretty quick. No, the Persians are like Iranians and a further east empire.
Did the Romans have issue with them?
Yes. Yeah, the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire were at war for a very long time.
Kyle didn't know something, because I'm
Where
over
did
here.
Where did they fight?
coming up empty on every
the East Mediterranean, West Middle East, like those
Northern those areas. Africa?
Northern Africa. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, they conquered Egypt. Like Rome had Egypt for so long. I saw a thing.
Oh, I'm not saying it was Egyptian. Always even. There were centuries in there where Rome was butt fucking them. And
yeah,
you know,
I guess I never thought of them fighting them. I thought of the Persian Empire as something different, maybe by Roman times. I just know it's like super storied, like the Persian Empire against the Greeks, because you've got the hot gates, you know, Thermopylae. You've got the Marathon. All of that stuff is the Athenian, Athens and Sparta, like teaming up and trying to rally all of Greece to take on this empire that dwarfs them from across the sea.
Greek history is so cool. Shout out Greeks.
Shout out to the Greeks.
Pretty awesome.
All you gay awesome boys with history. Your olive oiled up assholes. The leaders of the free world.
The Olympics.
Hey.
They invented it and then they didn't win a ton of medals back in the day.
They should go back to the medal count back when they like won every medal. Right?
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Each other.
They're like the Montreal Canadiens, like counting Stanley Cups from 130 years ago. The Greeks are like, actually, if we look back to the year minus 70, we've got you fuckers blown out.
We won every medal that year.
For so many years. It's like us in like Super Bowl championships.
Yes.
59 out of 59 for America, baby. Can't be stopped in the Super Bowl.
We should wrap because we have the hangout tonight.
Good call. Yes,
yep.
We
should.
All right. PKN 506.